Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. We are glad to have you guys with us in the house tonight. We have today, this morning, whatever time it is. I get confused at what time it is, Don.
Doesn't matter.
You're here.
I'm here.
Jack is on the board. We have Ava's out still, but things are going well with the baby, so we wish her nothing but the best of luck there. We have got a jam-packed show today. We're going to be talking a little bit about some bass fishing. We're going to cover the gamut. We're going to talk a little bit about some fish kill that went on in Wisconsin and something that went on in New York that I think Muskie people are going to be really interested in. So we're covering the expanses of the globe to give you the best info. So hang tight. More coming right up.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Back at it, Don.
Back at it, yep.
Yeah, you had a little adventure north, I think, didn't you?
And I will call it an adventure. Have you ever been up that trail up to Canada on the North Shore? You go up to Thunder Bay and north of Thunder Bay?
Been all the way up to Thunder Bay and have not crossed over.
Okay. I'll tell you, the scenery is amazing.
Oh, the North Shore.
It even gets better past Grand Portage.
Yeah.
On the way to Thunder Bay and past that. I had no idea the terrain was like that.
It's pretty extreme.
Yeah, there's some rock walls on the way up there that were, there's some poor guy hanging on the side there. I hope he gets down.
Did a little rock climbing.
Yeah.
Ice climbing in winter. It's pretty crazy up there.
Yeah, well, I bet it is.
They do a lot of that.
Yeah, we had an adventure. You know, it was a flyout type trip, and I'm not going to mention where we went. But, you know, one of the things that we did learn is it's very important to get the details and some of the things that you might take for granted, like I did.
So this is for future safety tips for future trips you're planning.
Right.
Right? So everybody, this get your notepaper out, notepads, pen, paper. From what I heard, you're really going to want to write these down. I'm not joking. You're going to write these down because they will be important. So go.
Well, most importantly is, you know, when you look on a website and you see solar powered or solar powered lights, I would verify exactly what they mean by that. The trip we were on, we had a couple of gentlemen that needed CPAPs. And what we found out was the solar power was for two LED light bulbs. And, you know, I don't know if the system needed some maintenance or what, but we found ourselves in the dark quite a bit, so to speak.
So it forced you to go to bed early?
Well, it forced you to wear headlamps if you wanted to, you know, pour yourself a glass of milk.
Or play cards.
Eating with a headlamp on.
So another one, ask a question about the amenities.
Right.
And if it says something with solar power, understand that like in Texas and everywhere else, solar power doesn't really work unless the sun is out. And it's not going to generally give you the same amount of power you're going to get somewhere else by plugging into a wall.
50% of our days was cloudy.
Okay.
Guess what happens? Nothing.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Right. That's
another
number
thing,
one. Number
another
two.
Thing you want to check on is the availability of water. Now, you think that's hard to believe. Now, back in the day, we used to just shower in the lake, right? At my age, that isn't working anymore. So we literally had a limited amount of water to if you want to shower, but you could make it hot or cold, whatever you want. But you got 2 gallons, so it's quick. So you do the old military shower.
I got you.
Unless you're the first person in the shower, like me, you don't realize that. And 2 gallons is gone in a hurry. Got it?
Then you get a soap residue. Gotcha.
You can have, yes.
Okay.
Or you wait.
So that's number two. Make sure you understand what
check
the water
the
scenario is.
You know, your what you're gonna fish out of your boats. Mm-hmm. Make sure that they're quality boats with seats. Now I did verify that we had seats, but it was like sitting on top of a basketball. You know, you're just wobbling all over the place, and you could only handle about 4 to 5 hours in the boat. Your back was killing you so bad.
So what they call that is a multi-directional, swiveling, angular chair is what they would call that.
Yeah,
that's you pay extra for that, Don.
Yes,
you really do, because if it doesn't absorb a shock vertically, it'll do it laterally.
Man, and trust me, I had the best seats out of all the boats.
Well, at the back
now,
the boat.
Now, one of the fun things about going on a fly-in, boats are usually small, mm-hmm. 12 or 14 footers with small motors. But, it's always nice to maybe ask what year are the boats, what year are the motors, so that you know.
Oh, this is big.
They were four-stroke motors, or 9.9s that we had. They were on 14-foot boats that about as wide as a canoe. So you didn't dare stand up in the boat. Now, keep in mind, I'm small, right? The gentleman that had the opportunity to fish with me was a little bigger than me. And you had to be really careful that way.
So weebles wobble and they will fall down?
Yeah. So
okay, that's
But
that's
you know, the
four.
Positive thing about the whole thing, the fishing was amazing.
Regardless of everything else. Well,
yeah, you kind of forgive some of the shortfalls when you get out on the water and you cannot find fish under 18 inch.
So the question that comes to mind, I think, from a lot of people's, they're listening to Canadian Trip, fly in. How are these resorts staying in business with COVID that just shut them down?
Well, the only thing I can think here is one of the issues that maybe some of these outfitters are running into right now is because they've had lack of business for two years,
right?
They're not putting money into the camps right now because they don't have the money to do so. So I didn't fault them for that. The gentleman that owned the camp was a wonderful person and host. The only thing I asked is it's the only camp that I had ever been in that didn't have a backup generator.
Wow.
And he said, well, some people will bring their own generator. I said, I'm not packing a generator.
You have limited weight. Limited weight you can put on a fly in on a float plane.
Right, and then you pay for those. So
they're hanging on. Yep. It's goodness, thank goodness, it's coming back.
Yep.
And obviously talking with Chris Grandrud from Rainey, his guide services picked up. I mean, it's jammed solid as it was before. So
sure.
Things are coming back, which is really. I would consider that a bonus, so that's always kind of cool.
And I'm going to be heading up to Lake of the Woods here not too far into the future, and I know the amount of complications that the outfitters have in Lake of the Woods with the high water, that and rainy, and we're probably going to see it in Capitoma too.
A lot of damage. So we'll tell you what, we're going to be coming back, and we are going to be talking about some money that people can get if they want to do a little bass fishing. One fish in particular, and a little bit more about what's going on in Wisconsin streams when we return from North Valley Outdoors. Hey, Don, we want to make sure people know where to go to find all the cool stuff that we've got going on the website. Where would that be?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
TheValleyOutdoors.com. And we're into that season again where it's the Ohio State. So use that as a reminder.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll never get to where we are.
Right.
You can't get there from there. From there.
T-H-E.
T-H-E.
The Valley Outdoors.
Yep, exactly. And, of course, Facebook. And I've got a slew of stuff I'm going to be posting up there pretty quick here. So that'll be kind of cool. Get that nailed down. And I think what I'm going to do is I think we're going to start highlighting the previous or the coming up show. We'll do a little highlight on what's happening. And we'll do that on probably that Friday beforehand and give people heads up on what to look for on Saturday morning. So
fun.
Yeah, kind of cool stuff. A story that I thought was, we do a lot of these where people have, agencies, I think it was a couple of weeks ago. They said, hey, free for all, catch as many fish as you can. You remember that? Before it dries up.
Right.
We've also had catch northern pike and as many pike as you can get, and you'll get a bounty on whatever it is. Snakehead, same thing. Snakehead fish, they've done put a bounty on those. Well, in this case, it's a bounty, but it kind of a cool way to go about it. Elephant Butte, New Mexico, the Chamber of Commerce, are offering big bucks to anybody who can break the current 7-pound, 3-ounce New Mexico state record with a smallmouth from their local reservoir.
Okay.
$10,000. Hmm.
Well, that would put some fun into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a heck of a good idea, and I think great concept. It's the brainchild of a gentleman called Ron Gilworth. He's a member of the Chamber of Commerce. You should come up with that, Don.
Right.
And also an avid angler, confident the nearby reservoir has smallmouth capable of challenging that 7-pound, 3-ounce record. It was set in 2006. The 36,500-acre Elephant Butte is the largest lake in New Mexico, and after all, has some smallmouth, nice smallmouth that have come out of it in the past. And the problem is there's not a lot of records that have been current, and a lot of people would be bragging about big fish, but then they wouldn't do what you need to do to get it officially recorded. As you know, that sometimes can be rather difficult. They've got potential record fish there. You need to have a certified scale, have it measured by a neutral party. They must also witness the weighing in and have side view photograph also as stated. So people can find out exactly how to do that, and they can go onto the wildlife deal. If you click on Valley Outdoors, go to New Mexico, click on what to do if you catch the record fish, it'll be right there.
Sure.
So kind of a neat deal, I think. If you walk downtown, he says, to the meat market, the fish would probably die if you go down there, because that's what most people do. They want to go down to the local meat market, put it on an official scale. But if you have an official scale or something that you have that's certified, then you're going to be good to go. So catch and release whenever possible, especially on a record fish such as that.
I'm sure you have to photograph it as well.
Yep, exactly. Side view photograph, yep. So business boosters in the town put up about $1,400 in prize money. They also ensured that the Butte General Store was equipped with a certified mobile scale. Ring them up, and they'll send someone to the boat ramp for an official weigh-in. So we'll be on our way. Hang that fish tight into shore, or keep it in your live well, and you are going to be ready to rock and roll without a worry of having that fish dying. So
you know what part of New Mexico that's in?
I don't offhand.
I was wondering, because I'm not familiar with smallmouth being so prevalent down south there.
It's going to have, I don't, as far as the, what do you would call it, the area where the fish are at, the
right.
Habitat, the you know, the rock and gravel and that, it's definitely abundant in that area.
Obviously,
that I
they wouldn't
know.
Be fishing for them.
So the other thing, fish must be caught during daylight hours, according to the rules, which are available to the Chamber of Commerce, office, and local businesses. If more than one fish sets the new record, the prize goes to the heaviest fish, so no winner will be declared until the contest closes at sunset on September 30th. So you have some time to do that.
Yeah, you got about a month. Get on the water.
Make that happen.
If you're heading south, take your boat.
Exactly right. You got to make sure you do it. And you can't play. Oh, you can't win if you don't play, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I think you have to catch fish in that lake too, I'll bet.
Yeah, okay. Probably.
Yeah.
That would be...
I wonder how they verify that.
Non-productive if you didn't. It would be a good call. Oh, would not be a good call. So, a story from Wisconsin, Don, Trent, like I said, covering the gamut here.
Yep.
Officials are investigating a fish kill of over 600 trout in a Wisconsin stream. I think you'd be very surprised where this is. Dead fish were found in a small stream, valuable habitat for spawning trout in the famed Driftless area. Wisconsin DNR is investigating the claim, and from this stream that is absolutely fantastic fly fishing. The die-off occurred on Isabel Creek, a small tributary stream that flows through the Kinnikinnick River region, which is not far from here.
Right.
Really tough deal. Isabel Creek flowing south along the County Road C in Ellsworth, Wisconsin. So far, the DNR staff, they observed over 600 dead trout and a variety of dead forage fish species in the creek. And they've been on site several times since mid-August. Isabel is a lesser known stream in the area, recognized by many, many, obviously less than famous trout waters like the Rush River, the Turnbell, and of course the Kinnikinick, but it flows through that edge of the Driftless area. While it is small, it can produce fantastic fishing, which I have definitely heard about. An employee of a local shop located about 25 miles northwest of the Isabel tells the reporter that the creek is home to both browns and brooks. People primarily fish for the brown trout that were stocked once upon a time. And as far as they know, they are naturally reproducing brown trout from the original stocking genetics.
And they haven't determined what the cause of the fish kill is.
No, it's going to be what I refer to as stay tuned.
Right. Well, I'm sure they're sending him into the lab and
finding
out what happened.
It's so tough when that happens. It's devastating to have that type of population kill.
Well, you know, it happens in the wintertime too with shallow lakes where you get the fish kill on a shallow.
Winnebago, we had that on with sheephead. Sheephead were, one year we had a tournament out there, they were dead everywhere.
But that wasn't during the winter though.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was one of those things, but it didn't affect anything else, which was really surprising. Really, it just sometimes that type of scenario is just,
well, yeah, it can be bad if it washes all up on shore.
Oh, it was.
Yeah,
you should have seen him at the launch ramp.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that.
Not a pleasant thing. Now moving further to the east,
yeah,
out of New York and actually on Lake Ontario, one of the Great Lakes. Of course, having been fishing Erie and those lakes a lot myself, I know that there are quite a few large fish in that lake. Out of Henderson, New York, nearly a 60-inch muskie was caught in Henderson Harbor on Lake Ontario in late July. A couple people were being guided out of a Watertown area, and they hooked into the massive fish towards the end of the trip. This charter normally targets walleye, and he says he does occasionally hook into muskies, which are often chasing smallmouth bass or brown trout. He said he's caught 6 in his life over 45 inches. Nothing compared to this fish. He said that typical walleye spread includes mixtures of, when he's trolling, bombers, rapalas, flicker minnows, and about 12-pound test line. And that was a scenario when that fish decided to hit.
That's a huge fish.
Yeah, I know. There are 22 to 30 feet deep is what the bottom was, which is generally Lake Erie for the most part. Until you go further east, then it gets really deep. So then it gets challenging. There are a lot of downrigger guys that are running those out there. But in this case, it was obviously not the case. They were running shallower. Towards the end of the charter, the flicker minnow in this particular case. Now, if you're not familiar with the flicker minnow, there's two different versions. It's kind of like rapala. There's a shad wrap. And then you've got several other minnow-style baits that you can run. It can be tail dancers. It can be, you name it, whatever. But the flicker minnow is more of a longer bait, which imitates more of the bait fish that are in at that point, that time of year. They're much bigger and longer. He said it tangled up some of the lines that we had to untangle and cut and retie everything in order to get it in. They had to cut lines, which is pretty crazy. That's yeah, always entertaining. I've had that happen. It took about 30 minutes to get the fish to the boat. They knew it was big, but they didn't realize just how big until they got it into the boat. And the first question was, do you want the fish to swim away? What are you thinking? And he had the same answer as the other person did, the fish that needed to swim. Quick photos and a length measurement and a tense 45 minutes. We shut the boat off and drifted away from the fish, and it was on the top surface of the water. It was glass calm and got to watch it, and it wouldn't go down off the surface but stayed on top, on its side, breathing. Gave it about 20 to 30 minutes. Anglers became worried in the boat. At this point, they were a little emotional about it. They thought it was going to be stressed out and really hurt and too stressed out to make it. So we slowly went up to it, shut the engine off again and drifted, and she took off like a cannonball, he says. We were able to mark her on the sonar right down to the bottom.
Oh, wow.
Which is really pretty
cool. That's pretty cool.
That is awesome. If you've ever seen that on sonar, it's actually going to be a line. Fish do the same thing coming up, but it'll be a line going right down. A pretty big line, I suspect, with a fish that large.
Oh, my, yes.
And
I mean, you can see your jig do that if you do it by the transducer.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're in the cone.
That's a quarter-ounce jig. You watch it go down, let alone a... I mean, that muskies, do they have a weight on it?
Weight? Here's the thing. They didn't weigh it, but what they did was they measured the girth. Oh, I see. They didn't weigh the fish or measure the girth, only the length, which came in at 59.5 inches. They did compare the fish to a 5-gallon bucket on board. You said it was easily an inch or two wider than a 5-gallon bucket. They did research, talked to taxidermist muskie guys. They're estimating between 55 or 65 pound fish. They caught 57 pounder in Chaumont Bay, but it didn't compare to that particular fish. It was older. The girth was much bigger and almost explainable. It's one of those fish you don't run into very often, he said. But if we're going to catch one, it's the right one to catch.
What's the world record? That can't be that far from it.
I don't want to get into the world record because, Don, when you have done that, I've researched this.
Yep.
There's three, I believe it is, Spray was one who claimed they had the world record. And other people have now claimed that that was not a world record. And there was some false claims that were made. So there's really dispute that comes up with the world record muskie. I'll look at that next week and come in because the story behind the claims is pretty extensive,
sure,
and unique. And that's one of those things where you start looking at, oh, this one, is this a record? Is it not a record? Was this legal fish or was it not legal fish? So there's...
I mean, if this fish is 60 inches long and 59.5 girth?
It's 59.5 inches length.
Oh, length.
Length.
Okay, I think
yep. They didn't measure the girth, but they said it was bigger than a 5-gallon bucket around.
Yeah, so, it's too bad they didn't have a tape to do that. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hang tight. We are going to be coming right back, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with duck numbers. Stick around. You're going to want to hear that.
Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Don, it's all about the ducks.
You know, there seems to be a couple of duck hunters on the street that I live on. They already got their boats in the driveway with all of the camouflage on them, so they must be planning.
There's the geese are going to start hunting. They're going to start hunting geese this weekend, I guess.
Oh, sure. Is there early season?
Yeah. Yep. I talked to a couple friends of mine that are big into it, and they're all getting all, as the saying goes, they're getting geeked up.
Yeah. You know, I had the best luck.
Goose geeks.
Goose hunting. I love goose hunting, especially in a field versus water. And I would always try to find a farmer that was going to have his fields taken out that had sweet corn in them. So for the canning factories, this is down in southern Minnesota in the Martin County area. And if you get a sweet corn field and you can get out there and set up a little blind, I just laid down the row and covered up.
The road?
The row. Row of
where I thought they, if you're laying cut, down the road, Don, the that corn. Could be dangerous.
And
short-lived duck hunt, goose hunt.
they get the big geese down there.
Oh yeah,
the greater Canadians.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And they tumble.
Yeah, I don't know what the limits are this year. I haven't checked into it yet, but
I haven't either. Well, the survey that came out of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they released on the 2022 waterfowl population status based on surveys conducted in May and June. And what was kind of odd here, due to the COVID pandemic, the last Fish and Wildlife Service duck breeding population survey was released in 2019.
Okay.
Okay. Total populations were estimated at 34.2 million in the traditional survey area, 12% lower than in the 2019 estimate of 38.9 million and 4% below the long-term average. So just a quick run through a couple species we got done.
Sure. Hit the main ones.
Yep. We're talking mallards, 2022, 7223. 2019, 9,500. 23% down. Teal, 2,100 versus 3,100 in 2019, down 32%. Mm. Redheads, it looks like 991 and versus 732. They're up 35%. And let's see, what was the other one? Northern Pintail, 1783 versus 2268. So that's 21%. Down. And
what they attribute to being down about?
Water's a big one. And although the beneficial effects really comes in with the late winter and spring, they're evident with high pond counts early, and they diminished right significantly after that. And there have been multiple years of drought, and the severity's really changed that. So yeah, DEO is gonna, the Ducks Unlimited is gonna be working to take a look at that, seeing what they can come up with, and really try to help regulations accordingly.
Sure.
And so that should be, hopefully they can make a rebound, but 2 years, of course, is one of those things you don't know for sure. Yep. That's been a big...
Well, they usually do.
Yeah, we hope so.
Nature has its way.
I will say this, drought's been pretty heavy duty, so we'll see what happens in the flyway this year. So hopefully it'll be good. And hopefully all of you are going to be good. We're coming to wrap up another show, Don.
Yep.
And hope you guys have a great weekend. Spend some time out in the outdoors. Hey, bring a friend with you, why don't you? See you soon. Bye.